face. And Lord, for those who need a touch from you today, I pray that your Spirit would just be so present in their life. They would feel you and know you in this place. And so I just commend these, my friends, to you in these next minutes to your care. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're starting a new series, and it's on prayer, and it's called Plug Into the Power of Prayer. That's the big title. And today's sermon is, what's the big deal about prayer? You know, we have lots and lots and lots of resources out there. Many of you will look online, look on Right Now Media, go through a library and have books. And you're going to come up with different definitions, but let me give you the Bob definition of prayer. Prayer, in its simplest form for me, is simply communication with God. Simply expressing myself to and hearing from the Almighty God. And we have a video that I want to show you that I think probably will get us thinking down the right path as it comes to what this is going to look like as I think about relationship with God. I understand something. Relationships absolutely depend on communication. So how many of you have a great relationship with somebody and you have zero communication with them? Oh, here we go. Prayer is sort of like that in our lives, isn't it? We have all of this equipment and we went to all this work to design slides and we got sound systems so you can hear, and we have lights so you can see. And the minute the electricity is out of them, it all becomes a bunch of worthless junk sitting around. You can know a lot about someone. You can know all kinds of details about their life, a biography, you can tell me things, their hair color, their eye color, their... But if you don't know them and have communication with them, you don't have a relationship. And in many ways, you can know a lot about Christianity and about walking with Jesus and about discipleship. And you can know where everything should be and even what it should do. And if it's not plugged in, well, it's kind of like it was a minute ago. It's just dark and kind of quiet. You see, the Almighty God, the creator of all things, has invited us into personal relationship with him and to have communication with him. In fact, the Bible tells us he created us, and he created us for that relationship. And when that relationship got disturbed by sin, he redeemed us, and he sent his son in our place to pay a price we couldn't pay. And then he provided for us instruction and teaching about how to draw close to God and how to talk to him and how to have relationship with him. And then he gave to us something incredible, the indwelling Spirit of God that leads us, that guides us, that speaks to us. What I want you to know is that the power for the Christian life is linked to prayer. And if you think that there's an easy button or a magic button, prayer is as close as I can get to saying there's a button that you mash to begin to know Jesus and begin to know God and begin to live with the power he designed you to live with. And so today I want to talk about the big deal about prayer. I'm going to give you a bit of an introduction, and then over the next 5 weeks we're going to unpack it a little more. The first thing I want you to know is that God desires our prayer. I know we have a lot of kids here, so let's try this one. How many of you have developed a great resistance to your kids when they're like, mom, 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 or dad, 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 dad? Anybody? Anybody like me that way? Yeah. You can admit it. And that all of a sudden you tune in and realize they've been talking to you and calling out to you, and you didn't even, you just, totally, right? A lot of us think God must be like that with us. I mean, he's got all these big problems in the world. He's the creator of the universe. He's the Almighty God. He's not worried about the fact that I lost my car keys or that my truck won't start, or that my... And it has to be big enough, or it has to be... And we almost get to believing the lie that he's annoyed when we keep coming to him. Dad, 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 dad. I want you to know something, that God is not annoyed, bothered, or interrupted by you, his children. He's a perfect heavenly father, and it says in Proverbs that he delights in the prayers of his children. In fact, Jesus, when he's instructing us, and he's saying, here's how you have relationship with the Father, and he's talking to the disciples, he says, this is how you pray. I want you. He commands us to pray. And in Matthew 6:5, he uses this terminology, and it's an imperative, when you pray. And then he repeats it again in the next sentence, when you pray. And then in the next sentence, he says, pray like this. And it's not like an option, or it's not like a, hey, this would help you, or it's not. It's like part of this discipleship process, part of the deal, will be communication with God. Jesus modeled prayer. If we are supposed to be like Jesus, we find in Luke 6:12 that Jesus went and withdrew for the night and prayed through the night. And he talked to the Father, and he listened to the Father. And you know what he did the next day in that story? He chose the 12 men that were going to be his disciples. And he was guided by talking to the Father. We have another instance in Scripture where Jesus withdraws and prays and comes back, and there's a whole crowd ready to meet with him. And this crowd is ready to be ministered to. And they've gathered, and the disciples, you know, they've got their coffee, and they're with Jesus. This is what I imagine, over in the corner. And he comes back, and he goes, whew, you got up early in the morning, you went and prayed. All right, are you ready to do this thing? And he says, no, today we're going over here. And it's obvious that in communication with the Father, Jesus modeled getting his steps directed every day. Chris and I were talking about that verse. Oh, now I'm going to draw a blank. Is he sitting here? Where is he? Where my voice is behind you, guiding your steps to the right and the left. Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 30. Anyways, it's gone. But just that in listening to God, that voice would be behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And Jesus modeled prayer. He chose his disciples. In John 17, he modeled praying for his followers. And you see him commending them to God and committing them to God. And so as a follower of Christ, as a disciple, I want you to see that you're commanded by Jesus to pray. You're invited by God to pray. And he modeled prayer. The New Testament is full of examples of prayer. In Philippians 1, 9-11, you see Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. In Ephesians 1, 16-21, again in 3:14-19, in Colossians 1, 9-12, you see them praying for the church and praying for each other. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're commanded to pray without ceasing. In Luke 22:40, it says to pray that we wouldn't fall into temptation. In Luke 18:1, there's a parable about praying and not losing heart. And I want you to see that Scripture is just littered with this mandate, this model, and this invitation to be in relationship with the Almighty God. Now, here's where I think we fall down lots. You ever go and talk to your human father and you know there's a bit of a problem? Like, let's just imagine that you smashed his truck. Didn't happen, but let's just imagine. Or that he knows that you broke curfew or didn't come home, or that he knows that something went on in your life. It's awkward to go talk to him, right? You're not really looking forward to that conversation. You're not like coming in, Dad, how's it going? Unless you're trying to hide it, in which case you're guilty and you'll get caught. Lots of us port that into this invitation and this command to come and talk to our Heavenly Father. We think we should clean ourselves up. We should straighten something out. We should fix something. That we can handle this, and we wait until it gets to a critical point or a critical mass. And what I want you to see is God desires to spend time with his children. He desires to invite you to come. That Jesus says you should come and talk to the Father. that he modeled going and talking to the Father. And Scripture tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. They give us a command that says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 6 times in the New Testament, the word persevere in, devote to, and continue in is included in this command to pray. And I think it has to do with our perspective on what qualifies us. I think we forget sometimes that while we were still sinners, God loved us and sent his Son for us. And that he chose to reveal himself to us. And that the cross of Christ covers our sin. And then when God looks at us, and when we approach him in the name of Jesus, he sees us as washed and ready. And he invites us to come and to confess our sin so he can remove it. And he invites us to come without shame. And he invites us to come with abandon. And he invites us to come with our complaints. And I want you to see that you are invited, that God delights in you spending time with him. That you're taught that you should pray. That it was modeled in Scripture, and it was a part of what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. Secondly, I want you to see that God promises to hear you and to respond when you pray. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. It says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I love the way this plays out. There's this invitation where we do something. It says, ask, seek, knock. It says, come on in. I'm attentive. I'm here to be found. Ask for something, seek me, knock on the door. And then here's what he promises in response. Ask and it will be given. Seek and it will be found. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And it goes on to explain that you will be given good things that you can trust the Father. Now, I remember when Levi was young. And many of you won't be able to believe this, but it's true. He asked for a gun that was far outside his responsibility level and his ability. Can you believe that? I know, right? It's like, you're 4, you can't have a 22, I'm sorry. But he wanted it, and he asked me for it. And I knew better than to give it to him, right? And the good Father knows how to respond and what gifts you really need and what gifts are good for you. But it says to ask. And it says that he wants to give us good things and we can trust the Father. Goes on in John 16 verses 23 and 24 to say this. In that day, Jesus is talking to his disciples. You will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And we're told because of who Jesus is and because of the place he is that we can ask the Father, and this is how he sees us. And the promise then is that there'll be joy in trusting the Father. Look at the promise in Philippians 4. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The promise of Scripture is that if we go to him, and if we ask of him, he will respond to us. Now, some of you are sitting here and going, I asked God to cure my cancer or do this or do that, and it hasn't happened. How can you tell me he's the giver of good gifts? You see, if your perspective is that God needs to be a pinata dispensing to you what you determine in your perspective and in your situation, then you're probably not going to understand this. But if your perspective is that the creator of all the universe, the God who loves you and has given you eternal life, and who holds in his view and perspective all that is best for you, and that he wants good for you, and that you can trust him, if your perspective is that, then as you make supplication, as you ask, as you lay before him, he will guard your mind with peace and with understanding. He's not a pinata that we beat. He's the almighty creator of the universe. And yet he's invited us into this deep relationship, and he wants to communicate with us. And he wants to hear us, and then he gently wants to reveal himself and his will. And we're reminded of the first couple of verses when Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth, or put in my life, as it is in heaven. Siri's talking this morning, it's great. God promises to hear us and to respond to prayer. So not only are we told to pray, invited to pray, that it's modeled and it's an example of how the apostles and the disciples lived, Jesus makes a promise that he's going to respond to us when we pray. And then scripture is just full of accounts of answered prayer. So here's an account. I wrote it out. I want to read it for you. It's found in Isaiah 36 to 38. And bad things are happening to the children of God. So sit back and listen for a minute. In the 14th year of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, Sennacherib, the great and terrible king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. So the children of God are losing their land to this king. He's taking them and taking people into captivity. Jerusalem was left isolated against hundreds of thousands of armed Assyrian soldiers. All there was in Jerusalem was a frightened people, a prophet named Isaiah, and a praying king named Hezekiah. The Assyrian emissary stood by the conduit outside the city on the highway that leads to the fuller's field and mocked the people. He said Egypt would be no more help than a reed to lean on. It would pierce their hand. He taunted them, saying he would even give them 2,000 horses if they could find the men to put on them. He scoffed at the Lord God, and listen to this quote in verse 18 of chapter 36 of Isaiah. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And he threatened to starve the city until the people would eat their own dung and drink their own urine. The king's steward listened to all of this and then brought the word to King Hezekiah. The king tore up his clothes and went into the house of the Lord. He sent word to Isaiah the prophet and said, "Lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." Isaiah responded with a promise of deliverance. The king of Assyria will hear a rumor and pull back to fight on another front, and it happened. But the threat was renewed, and the emissary of the king sent a letter to Hezekiah saying they were coming back and would destroy everybody and everything. This time Hezekiah doesn't send word to Isaiah, he goes straight to God himself. Listen to his prayer. This is the kind of prayer that triumphs over enemies of God and expands his kingdom in the world. In Isaiah 37, verses 14 to 20, it tells us that Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread the letter before God and said, so he took this missive that he got that said, your God can't protect you. He hasn't delivered anybody else, and we're coming to get you. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who's enthroned above the cherubim, you alone are the God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Of a truth, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of man's hands. Wood and stone, therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, your God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdom of the earth may know that you alone are Lord. When Hezekiah had prayed that prayer, Isaiah, without even being told about it, received a word from the Lord. And he sent it to Hezekiah, and here's what he says. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me. Don't miss that. Because you have prayed to me. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning Sennacherib. Because you have raged against me and your arrogance has come to my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will turn you back the way by which you came. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And then, with the sovereign right of the one and only God who reigns above everything and who owns everything, God killed 185,000 soldiers in the camp of the Assyrians. And the sons of Sennacherib killed their own father in the temple of Nisroch, his god. I want you to see those words, because you prayed to me. I want you to see that the Bible is absolutely chock filled with stories of desperate situations, of the people of God crying out to God, and of God hearing and responding. I mean, you could go to Acts and see Paul in Acts 21 and how he's asked for prayer before he's gone in there, and prayer that he would be protected, and prayer that he would have wisdom, and he was opposed by everybody. He was opposed by the people of the city, and he was opposed by the religious leaders, and the deliverance of God is listed there. Why? Because the people prayed. What I want you to know as we go into this series is that the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, has chosen to create you to have relationship with him. And he's gone to amazing great lengths to draw you into that relationship. And that relationship only has power if you are communicating, listening, speaking to the Almighty God. He's in fact given you his Holy Spirit to live in you and to talk to you. And he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek after me, I will be found by them. He says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. I will hear. Does that mean so your will can be done? Not at all. It means that you can come to God and that you can tell him what's up and you can plead for what you need. And you can intercede. Why? Because of who Jesus is. And that is a loving father who gives good things to his children. He listens and he responds. And the story of Scripture is chock-a-block full of answered prayer. You see, what's going to happen in your life is what happens in my life through prayer. I become aligned with God. Here's what happens when I take time to pray. Now, I'm not talking some of you, okay, this, I'm never like this. So, you guys, you know, just, I've heard of people like this that figure they can do their prayer time on the drive to work, distracted driving. That work it in when they're, you know, doing something else so that it just fits. And, you know, I thought about this person, I did this, I did that. I'm saying really developing discipline of prayer, communication, is actually getting into a spot where you can give your attention and you can hear. That's like couples who tell me, we spend tons of quality time together doing the dishes, or, well, it's possible, I guess. If your definition of quality time is just being in proximity to one another. And you can talk to God while you're driving, and you can talk to God while you're doing other things. And it says to pray without ceasing, but I'm talking about aligning myself with God in a whole other way where time and intention is spent. So I've shared this with you before. I've got a place that I've determined to go where every day on sabbatical, here's what I thought I needed to change. One of the things in my life, there's lots of them, was to begin to ask God this question. Here's my schedule today. Here's all the things I've booked and planned to do. But I want you to have the ability to direct me. If there's somebody I need to call, if there's something you need to use me to encourage somebody, I'm just open to you directing me today. That takes intention and it takes time and it takes listening. And then it takes the courage to respond to what God impresses on you. Secondly, I become aligned with God in prayer because it makes me articulate some things and place some things in perspective. How many of you have ever gone home and ranted to your spouse and had them look at you and go, "Are you done yet?" Anyone? Okay, I'm the only one. I'll write that down somewhere. Don't you find that when you have to articulate to God what's going on, and you start going through the complaints of your day or the issues of your life, and you start to put God back in the place that he belongs, and you start to see things in perspective, everything changes? You see, as you develop the disciplined prayer life, it takes time and attention, but it also helps you articulate what's happening in your heart. And it places those things in a perspective that's good. Prayer also reminds me who I am asking. As you stop to talk to God, it reminds you that he's a loving Father, but he's also Almighty God. That he's taken action on your behalf and provided a way for you to come into his presence. And he's able for everything. You know, I just often think sometimes as I talk to him about what I see as hopeless, is that verse that says, "Is my arm too short?" And I'm like, no, you're God. You created the world. You set the mountains into place. You speak and nations tumble. Your word is full of accounts of your response to your people. No, your arm's not too short. And when I become aligned with God in prayer, it allows me to release control and responsibility and trust the one who's able. Well, let's ask the big question.
So what?
So what? This is going to be a fun series on prayer. In your community groups, we're going to give you ways to practice things. We're going to really dig into this communication with God. But prayer is communication with the living God. He has invited us to the relationship. He's pleased to hear from us. He's promised to respond to us. And he's taught us clearly in Scripture that we're to persist in prayer, that we're to continue in prayer, that we're not to give up. So if your prayer life is okay, pretty good, you think it's going on, please engage in this next few weeks because we need to press in even further and learn even more and go even deeper. And if you've never had a consistent practice of time and intention and really beginning to practice some of the things that Scripture teaches us about praying for our city, praying for our civic leaders, praying for one another, praying for the lost, and we begin to talk to God about what he wants and allow him to speak to us and to lead us, man, You need to think about joining us on this. You see, his prayer comes with a promise of response. I promise you this. If we go and wait on God, he will respond to us as children. He will give us good gifts. And Scripture teaches us clearly that prayer moves the hand of God, especially where it looks impossible. Scripture is full of the evidence of God's will being revealed and accomplished through his children and prayer. The question, will I participate? Will I renew my perspective? Am I willing to lay down some of the things I think? Or even once again go to God and say, show me more, show me deeper? Am I willing to make my time available to God? Get up a little earlier. Find a quiet place. Get my Bible out. And spend some time talking to and listening to God. And am I willing to realign my life? Am I willing for the Holy Spirit of God to show me ways that I could grow and places that I could change and be a part of what he wants to do in this place? Oh, I hope the answer is yes, because I'm excited about where we're going and what's to come. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for your word. It's truth. Thank you for the privilege of being set apart by you to just kind of investigate and to allow you to affect my heart. And Lord, as we look at this important communication with you, don't let me screw this up. Lord, just give me the words to say, unfold Scripture to the hearts of people, and draw those who love you and know you deeper. In pouring out their hearts to you and listening to you and hearing from you. And Lord, in engaging in the power of prayer. Would we be a church so plugged in that all could see it? And would your glory be furthered, Lord? Would you get all of the credit and the glory for the things you're about to do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.